Friday morning, that means it's time for Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com. Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and we're going to talk a lot of baseball. We're going to get into Paul Goldschmidt, the lack of movement in Major League Baseball with players still looking for jobs. Also talk about the Cardinals' rotation, who may be in that, who could be out. How about Carlos Martinez as the potential closer of the St. Louis Cardinals? All that and more coming up. Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm proud to announce a new sponsor for Scoops with DannyMac.com, and that's Design Air Heating and Cooling. You know, a few weeks ago, I was having an issue with my furnace, and I made a connection with Seth Goldkamp, who runs Design Air Heating and Cooling. He sent a technician over to my house. Not only did the technician arrive at my house, but so did Seth. They did a tune-up on my furnace. They got it running properly, but they also found a glitch in the system that is now saving me money on my monthly statement. That's all because of Design Air Heating and Cooling. They did that for me and my family. They can do that for you. They're a fourth-generation family-run company. They've been in business for over 100 years because they take care of their customers. The number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Find out more at designairservice.com. Thanks to Seth Goldkamp and Design Air Heating and Cooling. Hey Cardinals fans, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks. Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with DannyMac.com, it's a Ben Fred Friday. A chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He has an interesting column up at stltoday.com, which concerns the Missouri Tigers. We'll get into that in a moment, but a lot of people talking about St. Louis Cardinals baseball. I'm in Jupiter, Florida. Ben is in St. Louis, and Ben, let's jump into the Cardinals. Relatively quiet camp. Alex Reyes is healthy. All the players have reported. Mike Schilt has been making waves in terms, in a positive manner, that everybody talks about his open lines of communication, whether it be the veterans or the young guys. But people, and it's early, raving about Mike Schilt. And I know you and I are not surprised with that. Mike Schilt earning a rave review so far in his camp.
Yeah, I think, and this is a camp that he's been looking forward to for a long time, Dan. I mean, this is a guy who his first kind of big break, well, not his first, but one of his big breaks with the Cardinals was getting an opportunity to run a minor league spring training. And he felt like that was one of the things that he did that really showed the organization what he could do. So you got to think, coming back full circle, your first spring training as the manager, that meant a lot to him, and he views this very much as the tone setter for the season. I loved the line that he had about, "This isn't my spring training, it's our spring training," and I think the players deserve credit too. I mean, you and I were talking earlier today just about all the guys who are there already. Everybody's there in camp before the mandatory report day. They were all there by the time pitchers and catchers had to be there. I think is it going to win you games in March? I don't know. And look, we've tried to find things right now to talk about as if they matter, and sometimes they just don't. There are a lot of takes formed during spring training that don't look all that smart when the season rolls around, and especially by the time it's over. So, you know, good vibes doesn't always mean good seasons, but I do think it's impressive that there seems to be a really high level of buy-in across the board. And I think you can attribute a lot of that to Mike Schilt and the impact and kind of the fingerprints that he's already been able to put on this team.
A week from tomorrow, it'll be the first of 15 games that folks can watch on Fox Sports Midwest. February 23rd will be the first spring training game that will be televised. And I think the next week will be telling, in a way, how bullpens are dispersed and then who's in the rotation, who isn't. And that leads me to Carlos Martinez. Mike Maddox saying earlier this week, to me, it raised eyebrows a little bit, and it's been something I've been saying all off season. You and I have talked about it, the role of Carlos Martinez. when Mike Maddux, the pitching coach of the Cardinals, was asked about it. He said, boy, I like Carlos Martinez in the back end of games. He looked pretty good, didn't he? Kind of an open-ended response to the question. I like him in that back end of the bullpen. I really do. And then it opened to me, and I want to get your take on this. And I was doing the Tim McKernan Facebook show yesterday, and he asked me about it. And I said, well, it stabilizes the bullpen. And I'll tell you what, Andrew Miller, tough on NL Central lefties, Rizzo, Polanco, Joey Votto. So if the game's on the line in the seventh or eighth, you got him there. Hicks is in the eighth. Then you've got Martinez in the ninth. You've got Gant, potentially multi-inning guy. You know, a guy like Dakota Hudson can give you the sixth or the seventh, or maybe turns into a late-inning guy. I like Reyes managing the innings maybe as a starter. I just like that. I like that feel of it. Now, I also argue with myself because I say Carlos Martinez may throw a no-hitter one day or two and could win a Cy Young someday when focused. But then I say, you know, there's issues in the first innings of last year. I just can see both sides of it. The guy's got so much talent. Where do you stand on this in terms of a closer and Carlos Martinez going into 2019?
Yeah, I think I'm more open to it than a lot of people. I'm not actively rooting for it because I do think that Carlos's best value to this team is as a starter. If he's right. Now, what seems to be lost in this discussion is that last part, that last clause of that sentence, that people who just argue and argue that Carlos belongs in the rotation no matter what are choosing to dismiss some things that are pretty, you know, at this point hard to ignore. You mentioned the first inning issues, the health issues, the ability to have a routine that works for him on a regular basis. There are folks within the Cardinals organization that believe it would be better for Carlos in terms of performance-wise if he showed up at the ballpark every day not knowing when he was going to pitch, that it might be better for him to have to feel like he might have to pitch every day. Sometimes a starter schedule is not the best for a guy. He can kind of come and go a little bit more, and that's really what, to me, this season is about. I think the Cardinals want Carlos to be a starter, but I think this is the first time in his career where they're saying, but it could change. I mean, Maddux made that pretty clear. So I think this is in some ways incentive for Carlos is, hey, if you want to be a starter, then go out and prove it. Because there are, you know, last season included, there are some reasons to wonder if the way he pitches out of the bullpen, which we saw in a dominant fashion, yet small sample size last season, you'd have to go back before he was, you know, broke in as a major league starter to compare those. But he looked great, 5 of 5 saves, and just looked better. I mean, looked nasty out of the pen as a closer, and nobody wanted to face that guy. When you look at, I did this week because this question comes up a lot these days, and I was tried to answer it in my chat at stltoday.com. I think we both agree that when Carlos is at his best, he can be as good as anybody in the majors. But when you start to dig through some of his stats the past two seasons, he's got some that jump out as a starter, but a lot of them are kind of unremarkable. And part of this was because, you know, he wasn't able to stay healthy. He's not going to blow you away in his amount of innings. He's not going to blow you away in his amount of quality starts. He will have a game that knocks your game or two that knocks your socks off. And there have been blips where he's been one of the most dominant pitchers in the game. But consistently, the past two seasons, he has not been the starter that I think a lot of people know that he can be and that he expects to be. So if it's three seasons of that, then what are you talking about? Then you're talking about, you know, a pretty significant amount of time from when he was at his best. So the question the Cardinals have to ask is, A, what's Carlos's ceiling as a starter right now? And if he comes out and dominates, you know, then they're pretty happy with that, right? B, is he more effective as a dominant reliever than a sometimes dominant starter? I think you can make that case that he could be. And I think they're more open to it now, saying it publicly now, than they have been at times. I think everybody wants him to start. I think he wants to. I think he's going to work toward that. And if that works, then the Cardinals will be very happy. But they're not going to, I don't think, let him just continue to meander as he did at times last season when they know that they could have him as an effective closer if need be.
Paul Goldschmidt, the extension. Jim Hayes and I were talking about this today, and both of us brought up the point that sometimes you have to look at larger markets beyond this year. New York, Boston, L.A., Chicago, And think about, what do those teams need beyond this year? So if you're his agent, and let's take out the fact that maybe you're comfortable in a spot. Let's talk about money. And do those teams need a first baseman? If I'm his agent, I'm looking at those teams first. Then I think about quality of life, right? Then I think, you know, what is my family, what does my client's family want? And that's something that you have to take into account before the extension with the Cardinals. Now, he may be a unique case, and he may say to his agent, hey, get me the best deal with St. Louis, and that's where I want to be. I don't know about you, Ben, but I think that's something you got to keep in mind before you think, well, he's a Matt Holliday case or Jim Edmonds or a Big Mac and says, I want to stay in St. Louis. That's just something to keep in mind, I think, as you go forward with the Paul Goldschmidt case here in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of factors, and you named them, a bunch of them. Another one, too, is where does Paul Goldschmidt view his status in terms of this bigger debate about free agency? I don't dismiss that. Paul has been active in the union. He has accepted in the past a team-friendly deal with Arizona that probably left millions of dollars on the table when it comes to how he performed. Now, there are benefits of accepting that kind of deal. You get security. You don't have to worry about how a one-down season could affect your free agency. I mean, those are the kind of deals that we've seen Colton Wong and Paul DeJong take. They're the kind of deals that the Cardinals have been very successful in offering some of their players. There's a school of thought that maybe Paul Goldschmidt, you know, wants to hit free agency. Maybe he wants to go through that at some point in his career. There's also a school of thought right now that says, look, if you're Paul Goldschmidt and you're on the wrong side of 30 and you're looking around at what some of your peers are experiencing in free agency right now, you're seeing a guy like David Freese who says it's a humiliating process. David Freese is not Paul Goldschmidt, but he's a pretty good major leaguer for a decent amount of time here. Free agency is not treating these guys very kindly. So if you have a competitive team that you've enjoyed your time with, that's willing to offer you a what you feel is a fair extension, then maybe it's better to take what's on the table and go into those waters. I think the Cardinals are going to have to go big on this. I do feel like they want him to be around, but any idea that he's going to accept a Cardinals discount, you can toss that out the window. Guys don't do that anymore. Especially not guys who've only played one season here. I think Paul will like what he finds with the Cardinals. I think he's going to like the setup at Jupiter. I think he's going to really like the reception that he receives in St. Louis. I know Mo talked about this down there and said, look, we're not going to put the full court press on. A, we're not going to do it publicly, which that's no surprise, because that's also not what Paul wants. But B, they're also going to wait till he gets to St. Louis and gets a taste of it. You can't tell somebody about what it's like to be, you know, experience opening day as a Cardinal, but you can show them. And I think they think that's going to factor into their process here. Now, it's not going to make them take less money, but it might make them feel like, I don't know that there are very many places I can get this, because there really aren't. And I think they think that's going to help them when that time comes. But I got to think, being a smart business guy as he is, that watching current rounds of free agency is going to affect his decision to some degree too.
Reminder that Blues fans invited to join the party all season long. St. Louis Blues Ticket Tuesdays at Hot Shots. Customers can enter to win a pair of Blues tickets at every Hot Shots location during every Tuesday Blues game this season. Down the stretch they go, and you can throw on your Blues gear, show up and register to win a pair of Blues tickets. Cheer on the Blues while you'll enjoy awesome specials on food and drinks. And that includes Bud Family, Jack Daniels, Blue Sampler appetizers, and so much more. Hot Shots has been a proud partner of the St. Louis Blues and home of Blues fans for more than 28 years, as they have gotten hot here lately and making that great run towards the playoffs. Also, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, Hair Saloon for Men, their home base in St. Louis. It's founded in 1997, and they now have 16 locations in the Gateway City, so there's one near you. I go there. Both my boys go there. They now have 16 locations in St. Louis. This is what you get: the perfect haircut. They keep client notes on each customer, so on each visit, you'll be assured they know what you want. They'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine, all that for only $22. And for an extra $5, get the stress-relieving scalp massage or neck shave, and that is at Hair Saloon for Men. Speaking of free agency, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, a number of many good players still out there. Your take on the lack of free agency as that's being talked about around Major League Baseball in Arizona and in Florida, with major players that are with teams. They're being asked about it. The comments coming out about tanking, that it's not good for the game and what's happening. How about your take on what's happening right now with Major League Baseball?
Well, I tend to agree with what the players are saying more than I agree with what the teams are saying. The players are arguing that tanking sucks for baseball players and also fans, and the owners are arguing that tanking is not teams intentionally trying to lose, that it's a way of trying to win. And I know which argument sounds better to me. I also think, you know, we can talk about the push-pull between the agents and the teams, and I think there's validity to that. Look, if Bryce Harper turned down a 10-year, $300 million deal, then average Joe baseball fan is not going to cry for him if he has to settle for something less. I mean, that's life-changing money. But all these guys make a ton of money, including the guys who own the team. So I think sometimes people forget the owners get paid too. My big thing is this. I don't think this is a good look for baseball. And you can put it on the agents or the owners or the players or whoever, but to have two of the game's top players not signed when spring trainings are starting across baseball, it's not ideal. It signals to me the bigger issue, which is there's legitimate strife here between the owners and the players. And this notion that it's just going to cure itself if they institute some pitch clock rules and mound visit rules, which is what Rob Manfred seems to keep saying, I think he's being disingenuous. I mean, if you read like Pat Neshek's comments today, they're aggressive. I mean, they're talking about the people who are making this the way it is won't have jobs after the time, you know, this all plays out because there won't be baseball. I mean, there's players who are not tiptoeing around the notion that there could be a strike after this 2021 season when the collective bargaining agreement comes up to renegotiate. Now, I guess I've been at some points called a, you know, an alarmist here, and, you know, there's plenty of time to get things worked out, but I mean, what do you hear, man? You're reading the tea leaves. Does it seem like either side are really going to find common ground anytime soon about this?
Well, there's time, but I think there's at least language to start talking. And I do see that they're at least talking right now. I do think it's bad for the sport to have the best players sitting out. I would say that in any walk of life of business, that when your best people are out, that's not a good thing. You know, for me doing the games, if we would walk into Washington and Bryce Harper was on the DL, that's bad. That's not good, especially doing games for a baseball town. And I always say it when I was on the games, you know, we're going to do the game for a Cardinal fan, but in general for the Cardinal fan to see Bryce Harper, that was a good thing. With Max Scherzer, if he was on the mound, that was a good thing. Or to watch Randy Johnson pitch or Greg Maddux pitch, or some of the greats of the game, to watch them play the game, that was a good thing. And so not to see those players play or pitch, not a good thing. So they cannot strike. They cannot be locked out, period. It cannot happen. And if it does happen, shame on both sides. And that's the way I would put it.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you. And my big point is this, and I know there's nuance to this, and I come down on it. I'm trying to be reasonable here. The players have to stop arguing for bad contracts. That's not a strong argument. To say, look, you know, I know that these 10-year contracts have turned out to be bad, but there's more money in baseball, so owners should give out more bad contracts. That's foolish. I mean, that's whiny stuff. What the players should be seeking is, in my opinion, A, ways to get to free agency sooner, because in a non-steroid era, the aging curve is real, and teams are continuing to adjust their own metrics to try to, you know, really take hard looks at guys past the age of, what, 30 years old? So if that's the case now, and those guys are no longer valuable deeper into the careers, they should fight for ways to reach free agency sooner. I do think, too, the players are smart to pick up on this. They should stop with the argument of, well, there's more money in the game, we should get more money, because that's arguing for bad contracts. What they should continue to argue for, and I think prioritize, because I think the general public will agree with them, to me, the argument that we should eliminate tanking from the game is a much easier sell than we should argue for more money. Because I'm telling you, the guy who works his tail off you know, and what we do, it's hard work to some degree, Dan, but it's not, we're not out there digging ditches. And the guy who's out there digging ditches does not want to hear Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and Max Scherzer talk about how players should make more money. Now, they might make a good point, and there are times when I agree with them, but it doesn't sell well. It's as bad as the owners coming out saying, we need more money. The owners don't do that because they know how that comes across. So stop with that argument, players. Start with the argument that you want to get rid of tanking. Because if more teams are trying to compete and win, then more good players are going to get paid. That creates competition in the market. That drives prices of contracts up. That's what you sell the fans. If you're a player, you say, why do we as players want to play for bad teams? Why do we not want to get signed by, you know, bad teams won't even sign us because they don't want to pay us because they want to lose so they can get better draft picks. Fans don't want to watch that. There's a common thread there that I think if the players continue to drive that point home, then the owners will have to be forced to come around and listen to it because the owners know the same thing. And I would have a ton of respect for Mr. DeWitt and the Cardinals and the way they run their organization. But when Mr. DeWitt says that every owner in baseball is trying to win, I feel like that's not exactly the case. Trying to win-win, that's the answer. Is some of them are trying to win 3-4 years from now. And I think that's the thing the owners are going to have a hard time getting across is that, you know, fans in Miami don't want to hear about how the Marlins are trying to win. They're putting a AAA baseball team on the field and trying to make the experience at the ballpark better. Any fan can see through that. And I think players should really drive that point home because less competition in baseball means less money for players.
Yeah, and it's part of the PR move with fans is what you're talking about too. And I think your point is valid in terms of, well, I think they need, there's a lot of things that I believe in, but, you know, take away the draft choice on when you hit a free agent, and also, you're right, steroids out of the game, move up free agency, that's part of it as well. I also think that you need to have a deadline of when you need to have teams and owners sign free agents and create a buzz in the offseason. That's something else. Let's shift gears. College basketball, you wrote about Konzo Martin and Mizzou today. For fans that haven't had the chance to go to STL Today or pick up their morning paper, the gist of your article was what?
Just getting a chance to talk with Zoe about his team. And I think there's kind of two ways to look at this Missouri basketball team right now. One is that in the scope of this season alone, they're one game above 500 headed into Saturday's game at Ole Miss, an Ole Miss team that's playing pretty well. They've had a tough stretch here. They're just not good enough to have any sort of injury. And with Mark Smith being out, I think the team's hopeful he'll play at Ole Miss on Saturday. That's your second leading scorer, the guy who leads the SEC in three-point percentage, who has missed now six games. And they're just not good enough or deep enough to overcome something like that. It's been a battle since the day they lost Jontay Porter for the season. But I think if you can for a moment look at this team in a different way, there's real encouragement there, and it's the progress and the growth that some of these young players have had. When you look at Mark Smith as a sophomore, when you look at Jeremiah Tillman as a sophomore, he's kind of battled back from this latest round of foul trouble. Xavier Pinson, a freshman point guard, has really started to come out of his shell, and Konzo's coaching him hard because he coaches his point guards hard. He expects a lot, but Pinson's responding well. I think you're going to see him in the starting rotation back again pretty soon. And then you got a guy like Tavon Pickett, who has been the surprise of the season as a true freshman, who has gotten to the point now where, you know, there are players, veterans on other teams who are coming up to him to acknowledge him after the game. It happened at Tennessee. Jordan Bowden came up and said, "Hey man, keep it up. You know, you're playing well." And this is a guy who, you know, was completely overlooked in this signing class, a guy that initially committed to Illinois and there were coaching change there and they kind of let him get away. And I think SLU could have gotten in on him, but there wasn't a lot of interest. I mean, he was really under the radar, and he's been one of this team's most impressive players as a freshman. The Tigers are building a really nice little core here, and those guys are really young, and they're starting to get better. They're starting to get more confidence. And this is how you win. I mean, not every year is going to be Michael Porter Jr. If you look at the way Tennessee has built, I think you can draw some comparisons to Missouri. Tennessee was a young, underrated core group that developed year by year, and it wasn't always pretty, but now Rick Barnes is sitting on the top ranked team in the country. I think you can draw some fair parallels to what Konzo has going in Columbia right now.
And finally, SLU, another chance to win this weekend. And, you know, I think right now, A-10, one bid league.
Yep.
Probably have to win out at the conference tournament. But you know what? You look at SLU, it'd be tough. They're thin. But it's been a team that has had winnable games. They're just an intriguing team. I think it's been an entertaining team this year in St. Louis.
Yeah, they can beat anybody. They can play down to anybody's level, too. They're kind of an enigma in that way. But good teams do that sometimes. The key to them, I think, is in some ways, maybe I'm being Pollyanna here, but in some ways it can be a little bit of a blessing in disguise to know what you're up against. They know right now that they have to go win that conference tournament. And there's no way they're going to get in the NCAA tournament without doing that. So in some way, it's like, okay, it's all out there. Like, there's no secrecy here. It's a one-bid league, and you got to win the tournament. If they can get so they don't have to play that first round, then I think I like their chances better. They can beat any team in their conference. The question that I have is, do they have enough depth to play, you know, well over a tournament setting? That's why their seed is going to be really important in that tournament, because they're so thin right now. They've lost so many guys. They've had such bad injury luck that it's just going to be hard for them to go out and win a tournament wire to wire. If they can get a bye, that would really help their chances.
Ben, as always, great to visit with you, and we'll catch you up next Friday on Ben Fred Fridays here on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Sounds good, brother. Talk soon, and keep things rolling in Jupiter. I'll be there. I'll be there the first week of March. So don't have all the fun without me.
Thanks for the warning.